It's practically impossible to leave this place today with as many needs as you brought in with you. This is a wonderful atmosphere to hear from God and for our burdens to be lifted. If you have a burden that needs lifting, say amen,
amen.
And let it be lifted, and so be it. We've declared 2019 as the year of the Word of the Lord. And today I want to speak to you again on the subject of God's Word, the value of God's Word, and the place of priority that it should have in our lives as believers. We began a couple of weeks ago in John chapter 10, verse 27, where Jesus said these words. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And I asked you, what was the litmus test? How do you know if you're one of his sheep? And the answer is, if you hear his voice and if you follow him. Now, because of this verse of Scripture, I expect to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I do not expect to be misled by any other spirit. I hear his voice, you hear his voice, we are his sheep, he knows us, he speaks, we hear and follow him. And I've mentioned this before, it really means a lot to me. Every time I open this book, God opens his mouth. As we read his word, we hear his voice. Somebody ask the question, how much time every day should we spend reading the Word? And I say, until you hear his voice. It has been said that one word is worth a thousand pictures. But when it comes to the Word of God, one word is worth a thousand pictures. We'll just change it. A picture is worth a thousand words, is what you've heard. But when it's God's word, one word from God is worth a thousand pictures. And we've learned that faith does not come by seeing. That's something the world preaches loud and clear. They've got to see it to believe it. But faith doesn't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. This is the year to hear God speak clearly for your life. This is the year to hear and follow the instruction he speaks to you. Every time I've heard God speak a word in my life, this is my testimony. You have your own. I know he speaks to you. Look where you are. Of course you can hear from God. But every time I've heard God speak a word, it was just the push I needed. And as God speaks, he reveals mysteries that have been contained and withheld from us on reserve, on hold, until the time was right. And the word reveal literally means to take the cover off. So there have been mysteries and secrets that have been held in reserve for God's people until this year. And when we hear him speak, he reveals. He takes the cover off of a mystery and discloses something great for us. Now today I want to move on, beginning in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. We're talking about the Word of God, the Bible. All Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Don't throw any of it out. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Every time you pick up the book and hear God speak, it should be profitable to you. And it's profitable for four areas of our life. One is it's profitable for doctrine. The Bible tells us what the truth is and what we should believe. And for reproof, sometimes we need to make adjustments. For correction, and that just doesn't only mean correction in our behavior, but also a correction in our course, in our direction. Now, sometimes you'll start out from point A, headed to point B, and early in the journey, you need to make a correction in your direction, or you won't wind up where you need to be. And also for instruction, now this is training, for instruction in righteousness. We get all of this from the Word of God. Every time we open the book, God will speak to one of these four issues in our life. Doctrine, reproof, correction, or instruction, or training in righteousness. And then it goes on in the next verse as to why. That the man of God, and this includes women too, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Complete and thoroughly equipped. That's what God's Word is up to in my life and in yours. The Word of God is at work right now in your life and in mine, working toward our completion and to guarantee that we are thoroughly equipped. And there's something to be said for training. If you get a job, you're going to have to, first off, go through some training, probably. Whatever level or whatever area of vocation you are, you go and join the army. They're going to spend a few weeks in what they call boot camp. And you're going to be trained, and there is a lot to be said for training. The more sweat lost in training, the less blood lost in battle. So the Word of God is profitable for our training. We can get through life with a lot less bumps and bruises if the Word of God is giving us our instruction and our training for life. Now, that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete and thoroughly furnished. I shared this with you a few years ago. I believe I got it from Rick Renner, who's my favorite Greek Bible teacher. And it was a gift from God. Nobody taught him to speak or read Greek. He just realized he could. And he spent his life studying the Greek language. And everything he says or writes is dripping with revelation from God's Word. And I believe it was Rick Renner who mentioned this in a teaching years ago, and I've never forgotten it. That term, thoroughly equipped, talking about the work of God, the work of the Word of God in our life, it will lead to us being complete and thoroughly equipped. This phrase, thoroughly equipped, is an ancient terminology from a sea captain, a ship captain just before he leaves port to sail the sea, headed to a destination. It was the responsibility of the captain of the ship to be sure that before the ship left port, everything they would need, the captain, the crew, everybody on board the ship, everything they would need for their journey to guarantee that they would arrive safely at their destination was on board the ship. And the captain of the ship would make sure there was enough food and enough equipment and enough water and enough of everything they would possibly need for their journey. And when the captain would see that everything is on board the ship that we will need for our journey so that we can get safely to our destination, then the captain would cry out, "The ship is thoroughly equipped." And everybody on board knew what that meant. We've got everything we need for the journey, and we're going to make it safely to the other side. And so it is with the man and the woman of God. The Word of God speaks to us, gives us training and instruction so that we have everything we need for our journey that guarantees we will arrive safely at our destination. The Word of God makes us thoroughly equipped for our life. Now, how committed is God to our being made perfectly complete? Have you ever sat down at a table with a few hours on your hand and nothing to do but put together a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. I don't know if you have. I've not. I don't even have that on my bucket list. I don't even want to do that. But how frustrating it would be to sit for that long and work on a project, a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and to do the best you can and only to realize when you were almost finished, one piece was missing. 999 out of 1,000 pieces were in place, but one piece was missing. So it was not complete. How frustrating that would be to those of you who've done that. I never have. Don't plan to today. But how committed is God to our being made perfectly complete? You know, He's for our completion. He's for our fulfillment in every way. He's for our being thoroughly equipped to have everything in our life that we need for our journey, for our entire life. He wants us to be complete and thoroughly equipped. If you want to know how committed God is to our being made complete, look at three parables quickly. First of all, the parable of the prodigal son. This wealthy father had two sons. One went missing of his own choice. And the father could not rest. He every day would look for the son to return. 50% of his sons were still with him, but one of the two was missing. And so, according to the parable, in God's mathematics, 50% complete is unacceptable. He waited for the celebration until the son that was missing got back home. And then look at another parable of the lost coin. Here's a woman who had 10 valuable coins. The Bible says they were silver coins, and she lost one. Now, she had 9 left. She had 9 coins left. She had only lost one out of the 9. But 90% complete is unacceptable with God. And so the Bible says she sweeps the house and searches carefully until she finds the one lost coin that was missing. And then look at the parable of the lost sheep. Here's a man who the Bible says had 100 sheep and one went missing. Now he had 99 sheep. Only one was missing. Was he happy with that? Did he say, well, 99% is pretty good. I'll be happy with the 99%. It's only one out of 100. Who'll miss it? I'm going to write that off as a loss. I'm going to be happy with the 99. But God is so committed to our being made complete and thoroughly equipped that he tells this parable that the shepherd leaves the 99 in a safe place and goes after. Those are the two words in the King James. He goes after the one which is lost until he finds it. That's what the word says. I can only imagine what that really means. Can you imagine, even in your wildest imagination, what would it look like for a shepherd to leave 99 sheep here, and in the Greek, he goes after. Wow, there's some intention behind that. There's some deliberate behavior behind that. Why? Because 99% complete is not enough for God. So he gives us his word, and we realize the value in his word. And as his word does its work in our life, we are made complete and thoroughly equipped by the word of the Lord that we read and the voice of God that we hear. Now, Psalm 19 is a good psalm that talks about the value of the word of God. It says in verse 7, Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord. Now, you could also say the word of the Lord. Or you could say scripture, or you could say the Bible as we know it today. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord, that could be his word, is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord, that's another way of saying the word of the Lord, is pure, enlightening the eyes. We want to quickly look at a few things that are powerful in those two verses. First of all, the law of the Lord is perfect. God's word is perfect. If we could let that sink in to the foundation upon which we stand and do everything we do, the word of the Lord is perfect. God's word is perfect. Do you know anything else in this world that's perfect yet? I can't think of anything that's perfection just yet. But God's word is perfect. And when we receive instruction and training from his word, we are being perfected by it, by its instruction, by its training for us. God's word is perfect. And then secondly, God's word transforms us. We just read where it's converting the soul. The word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So as we let the word of God do its work in our life, our soul is transformed. This has to do with our mind and our will and our emotions, the area of our soul. And it must be transformed for us to make it safely to the other side. Converting the soul, it transforms us. The word of God, if we read it and believe it and act on it, it will change our mind about some things. There have been a few times in my life, not nearly enough yet, but a few times already in my life when I have looked at something a certain way and thought, well, this is how I feel about that. And then I would see in the word of God that it speaks differently about that issue. And so as the word of God trains us and gives us instruction in righteousness, God's word transforms us. It is perfect and it transforms us. It changes our mind about some things. Now, it's okay to argue with God if you are all right with losing before the argument's over. A better prayer would be, Lord, change my mind about everything that you and I don't already agree on. And that's what God's word does as it trains us in righteousness, is it changes our mind. We see things through the filter of God's perspective when we hear God speak from his word to us. And then the third thing God's word does, is it gives us incredible wisdom. That verse we just read says, it makes wise the simple. And so, regardless of your economic or social background, regardless of your pedigree, how well bred or not you were before you were even born, regardless of your education and your degree and all of that is good, the Word of God can take someone who's simple and does not know much in the natural at all. And the blessing and the favor of God on his word can so complete and thoroughly equip that simple person that the simple becomes wise by the word of God. Now that's good news for those of us who are simple. Some things are just simple. What if there was a man and the word about this man, everybody in the world knew about this man. That man is wise beyond the realm of anybody who's ever existed before him. This man is such a man of wisdom. Every time he opens his mouth, wisdom falls forth from his tongue to those who listen. Wouldn't you like to go and have an audience with that man? Wouldn't you like to make an appointment with him? On some days when you get up and your life is messy, wouldn't you like to have a man like that to go to and say, please speak some wisdom to me. Here's the mess I'm in. Speak to me. Well, that's what we have in God. He is all wise. And his word can take us from whatever level of simpletons we might be and give us incredible wisdom. It comes from the Word of God. And then God's Word gives us direction for our life. The verse was worded like this: the Word of God is right. What it really means is the Word of God gives us the right path to follow for our life. David confirmed it in another psalm when he said, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Have you ever been lost without direction, without traction, just knowing my season is over here? I don't know where to put my next footstep down, but this is a former thing quickly, and I don't know what to do next. Get in the Word of God, because God's Word gives you direction, and not only direction, it will give you traction. The more you walk in God's Word, then the stronger your stride. So you have direction and traction that is a help to everybody who's on the move, and it comes from God's Word. He gives us direction when we're lost. And then another thing God's Word does is it gives us strength and encouragement. Now, these are just bullet points. Each one could be a sermon. But God's Word gives us strength and encouragement. Psalm 119, verse 28 says, "My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word." Do you know what it's like to have a heavy spirit? Just the weight of the world on your shoulders. And if it were just up to you alone, you would fall beneath the load of the weight you're carrying. David knew what that felt like. And he said, "My soul melts from heaviness." The New Living Translation, David said, "I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word." And the Word of God is our burden lifter. You give the Word of God into the hands of the Spirit of God, who lives inside of us and teaches us the truth from the inside out, and there will be strength and encouragement for every one of the children of God. He gives us that from His Word. And then God's Word gives us peace and stability. Psalm 119 and verse 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your word, and nothing causes them to stumble." Listen to the words, "great peace have those who love God's word, and nothing causes them to stumble." It's peace and stability for our life. All of this happens when we receive the seed of God's word and we plant it in good soil and we allow it to grow up and bear fruit in our lives. Peace and stability, you know, those are two words that go together even on the news. And the news is breaking every 30 minutes, by the way. You just, no matter what channel you watch, as soon as the commercial goes off and it's time for more news, it starts with breaking news. I say, oh my, somebody's broke the news again. They do it all the time now. But they use these two words talking about troubled regions of the world, whether it's the Mideast or wherever, that the goal is one day to have peace and stability. And I've noticed the two of them go together. You really can't have one without the other. Even the world knows that. But God's Word gives us both peace and stability. You know, there have been times where I would have gone insane. I mean, I am nuts already, but I would have really crossed the line and lost it if it weren't for the Word of the Lord that gives me some peace of mind when I'm insane, it may seem. Some of you have seen me on insane days. Pastor Steve, please don't laugh so hard. The Word of the Lord, is it valuable? I mean, here's what I'm trying to do in my life right now, and I'm 60 whatever. Well, I'm on the lower end of that, by the way, thankfully, still. And I've been in church all my life. I've been in ministry most of my life. And still, what I'm trying to do today is every day when I wake up, and I wake up early, before I take too many steps from the bed, I just have to know there's a connection still that's fresh with me and God. And on the mornings when I don't literally hold the book in my hand and open it, I draw from the Word of God that's been planted in my heart. And I'll take just a few minutes in the darkness and in the quiet of an early morning. David said, O Lord, my God, early will I seek you. So I am beginning my days seeking him early, and I don't take too many steps from the bed before I find a word in my heart that's been there, a promise from God, and immediately I realize, oh, there's that connection that's still there. The word of the Lord is valuable today again in my life. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to dig like a gold miner digs for treasure beneath the earth. And there's the word of the Lord for me. And so I live by the word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Natural food. Now, you need natural food. You don't live by natural food only. You do need some natural food, but not alone. We live by every word. Every word. All scripture is given by inspiration. Every single word of the 66 books were God inspired, and the writer wrote what he heard God say. And every word of it is life to us. So I am giving the word of God a higher place of priority in my life this year, more so than ever before. I remember back in the days of the charismatic movement, and just so I'll know, this is not a trick question, how many of you were in the charismatic movement? You were in services in churches that were charismatic. Anybody? Come on. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Okay, many of you. Well, you will understand this, and I think everybody will. But back in the late 70s, early 80s, for me, at least this is my experience, I grew up in a deep Pentecostal church. And then the charismatic movement was something new and fresh and refreshing, different. I remember the first charismatic church service I attended was at Evangel Cathedral in Spartanburg, and that is our mother church. Houston Miles, the pastor of that church, is our bishop now, our 90-year-old bishop, still alive. And 40-plus years ago, I walked into his church for the first time, and there were 1,000 people in the sanctuary. And as I walked through the lobby to open the doors going into the sanctuary, I heard worship like I'd never heard it. And then I looked through the glass, and I saw 2,000 hands up in the air like this, worshiping God. And I went on in. And it was a new experience in God. It was a different level of experience in worship for me. And I was ready for it. And my wise pastor, Houston Miles, Brenda and I got married and stayed in that church for 10 years before we began moving around. And one day, the pastor said something so wonderful, it was just for me, I thought. But back in that day, prophets would come to the church. Oh, about every other week, we'd have a prophet. And this man or this woman, the prophet of the Lord, and I believe in prophets. Hello. Yeah. I believe in prophets. And the prophet would be ministering. There'd be 1,000 people out there. And the prophet would call out a person. Would call out a person and say, I believe the Lord has a word for you. Well, I was afraid of that for a while. I said, oh, God, please, if you got a word from me, write it down and slip it to me. Please don't be giving me a word in front of everybody. Jesus, holy. But as I got hungry for God, and, you know, hunger for God comes in seasons. That's my, sometimes I'm very hungry, sometimes not. God help me. He's committed to my being made complete and thoroughly equipped. He's not finished with me yet. But I remember God was stirring in me during those days. And there was a prophet coming on a Sunday night to the church. And instead of staying away, I wanted to hear the word of the Lord, if he had a word from me. So I got all dressed up, Brenda and I both. We went to church that night, 6 o'clock service to hear a prophet minister. And we're sitting there, very visible, like we should have had signs. Give me a word from God. I came for a word from God. I want the prophet to speak the word to me. I'm here. That kind of a thing. Well, that service went on for about 3 hours. I mean, aren't you glad we don't do church that long these days? In fact, we're about done. Tell your visitor friends, those who will visit when you invite them, now don't be late because you'll miss it. Tell them that. Let them know. But on this particular Sunday night, Brenda and I are sitting, and I really did get a seat that while I was visible. I wore a shirt that was colorful. I mean, I was thinking, this man cannot overlook me. I came for a word from God. And that man prophesied over dozens of other people, and it was all good and encouraging words for other people. But I didn't get one. And the longer the service went on, the more discouraged I got. And I was disappointed. You know, Lord, I finally was ready to come get a word. I was finally bold enough to walk in here dressed like this so the prophet could see me clearly. I was ready to hear from you, Lord. And yet other people got a prophetic word and I did not. And finally, at the end of a lengthy service that evening, the prophet turned the service back over to Pastor Miles. And I was so despondent and defeated because I didn't get a personal prophetic word. And here's what my wise pastor said that changed everything for me. He said, there was 1,000 people there. He said, I know many of you came tonight to get a word from the Lord. And the man of God did not give you a personal prophecy. He said, but you don't need to leave disappointed. This is the word of the Lord for you. And when he said that, I realized, okay, I'll go to digging now. I'll go to digging like a miner digs for gold. How worn out is your Bible? Now, I know that's not a relevant question today like it used to be because some of you don't even have a leather-bound book with pages in it. Some of you are looking at your iPads and your phones, and for all I know, you're surfing. You may be updating your Facebook profile. I don't know what you're doing. I hope you got it on the Word. But I still like a Bible in my hand, and I have many. And some of them are worn out. Just 2 actually is worn out. Pages coming out of it. And it reminds me of something Charles Spurgeon said when he spoke about a man or a woman who placed a high value on the Bible, on the Word of God. Charles Spurgeon said, a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. It's the power of God's Word, and it's the value of God's Word for the journey of a lifetime. How conversational is your relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with Him that sounds like one you would have in conversation with your best friend? You know, that's what God offers us. The Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God, and God spoke to him as a man speaks to a friend. And so that relationship with God's Word is accessible for all of us. Closing with a story I read about an old miner who had spent his entire life living alone in a shack in Colorado. All he did in the daytime was mine for little nuggets of gold. He lived like a hermit in a shack that was not impressive. And he lived his entire life as an adult alone. And when he died, only then when he died did some of his distant relatives come to Colorado to collect anything that might be valuable. And when they arrived at the miner's shack, they noticed an outhouse out back, not even the comforts of indoor plumbing. They went inside the shack, and there was an old cooking pot, some old equipment that miners used, a cracked table with a three-legged chair that stood next to a tiny window, and a kerosene lamp was the centerpiece on the table. Just pitiful. Nothing valuable. But the relatives gathered up one or two things that the old miner had possessed and loaded them in their car and got ready to drive away. And they noticed another old gentleman coming toward the shack. And the old gentleman introduced himself as a friend of the deceased miner. And he called out to the family of distant relatives that were leaving with what little they found that they thought was worth anything. And he said, "Hey, do y'all mind if I go in and take what's left in the old shack?" And the distant relative said, "Not at all. Go ahead and take it. We've already got the valuable stuff. You can have whatever is there." And the man thanked them, and off they drove. And he walked over to his friend's shack, went in and looked around, and then, as if he knew exactly what to do next, he reached under the table and lifted one of the floorboards, and then little by little he lifted out all of the gold that his friend had discovered over decades of his life's work as a miner. It turned out to be millions of dollars worth of gold this old miner had discovered and had hidden under the floor of his old shack. And apparently, the old miner had died with only his true friend knowing his actual worth. And in the same way, Jesus wants to make himself known to us. He wants to reveal himself to us through his word and by his spirit, but we treat his word like a distant relative sometimes. And yet if we would get to know him better, we would discover all the riches he has hidden for us. This is the year of the word of the Lord. This is the year he will take the cover off and reveal mysteries that will be profitable for us. It begins with putting his word as a top priority. I'm willing to do it every day this year just to see what happens. Just to see what happens. This is the year of the word of the Lord, and God's word is given to us that we can be thoroughly equipped. Let's celebrate the value of God's word every day this year. Would you stand with me, please?